This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, an ex-WHU employee. This week we can finally talk about a win and one that has seen a stay of execution for David Moyes. With some tough games coming up, could that stay of execution do more harm than good? In what's been a busy week for West Ham, we talk about the Everton game, the arrival of Danny Ings, the departure of Craig Dawson and a send-off for David Gull before getting news from X and answering questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. We've got Super David Moyes. He knows exactly what we need. Zuma at the back, Bowen in attack. West Ham will win the Conference League. you see what happens when you give a manager some time. And I'll tell you what, if it was down to you, X, he'd have had his P45 by now, wouldn't he? No law in football anymore. None whatsoever. Yeah.
Wasn't expecting that intro. I'm a little bit stunned, to be honest. I mean, don't really know what to say, but it was nice to experience a win. Let's not lie, regardless of whether people think the manager should be the manager or whether the performance was good or whatever negative you want to throw at it. You know, we only had 30% possession or whatever. People are throwing negatives out already. Bottom line is, we support West Ham to win games. They won a game, in my opinion, aside from the first maybe 15, 20 minutes, we were totally in control. So, yeah, happy days. 3 points, what we needed.
Well, look, on a serious note, it was a big game and a must win for different reasons. If we look at the more specifics of the performance, how did you feel about it? Because you're right, and we have to touch upon it. We have beaten a very poor Everton side at home with, I think, 32% possession. And some people are raising that as a serious concern. And other people are saying, do you know what? I don't care if we have 5%. If we get the 3 points, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the latter at the moment. I think when you're in a relegation battle, you've got to nick wins in by whatever means you can. So we won the game. And yes, we might have had 30% possession or whatever, which isn't great and against them. Like the weakest team in the division, let's not lie, them and Southampton. It's not the most convincing of performances, but at the end of the day, aside maybe, like I said, from the first 15, 20 minutes, I thought they had a couple of decent chances. We were in control. They didn't really threaten us once we got the goal, and then the second goal could have probably got a few more if we wanted to. I think it was a decent performance. It was decent individual performances, that's for sure. Certain players played really well, and at the end of the day, those games against the battle. A relegation rival are tense, and you know we've come out with the win. As I say, not the best performance, but it's a win. And at this stage of the day where we are, I'll just take any win like that at the moment. Yes, maybe long term it's not the answer, but for the rest of this season, it is, in my opinion.
Well, it was a game that saw David Moyes use what I'm assuming is his go-to formation with three at the back. Now that he's got those players at his disposal, the starting lineup didn't include Souček, which I thought was quite refreshing. And I thought half the first half was decent. Same as you, really. We switched off a bit in the second half, which was a bit disappointing. But I've got to say, you know, I was borderline disgusted with Antonio's attitude and his body language and his persona at Wolves. It was quite refreshing again to see a difference in him. I thought he worked hard, played his part. I actually thought Bowen was quite poor until he scored, if I'm honest. I thought he was poor on the ball. But obviously that goal saw him growing confidence and then he scored two on a day. Let's hope he's turned a corner now. And I have to say, as we mourn the departure of a cult hero in Craig Dawson, are we witnessing the birth of a new one in Naif Aguad? Because, again, I thought he was excellent yesterday.
Totally agree. For me, he was outstanding and he showed all the qualities that made him Moyes' first signing in the window and our most important signing now. You know, when I've defended Moyes, I've alluded to that. He was the first signing Moyes made, so he knew, A, he was that good and B, was that needed. And I think the last, he started to show it in the games he played before this. I thought he was good at Leeds. I thought he was good at Wolves. But I thought he was outstanding yesterday. I thought he showed every attribute you would want from a centre-back. Pacey, good in the air, strong, distributed the ball well, got stuck in, made last-minute challenges where he won the ball. You know, it was a brilliant last-minute challenge. I thought he'd injured himself again and my heart sunk. But yeah, he won the ball in the second half. And the fella played absolutely outstanding. I thought Zouma was very good alongside him. Again, you know, he hurt himself quite early on. And we thought, oh God, here we go. But I thought Zouma played really well. And whilst I can't remember Ogbonna doing too much, that's often a good sign for a centre-back. It only means that he's doing what he should be doing effectively. And this was always the formation that David Moyes wanted. He said it from the start. I reported it on this podcast. It was always three at the back and wing backs, with Emerson being signed to be that left wing back. And now he played Emerson at the left wing back. I thought Emerson had a good game. I was surprised he was taken off because I thought he was doing really well. I thought that was Emerson's best game for the club. I'd say it was Chaffal's best game for the club this season as well. And so I think ultimately the defence, and I know it's against Everton, so it's not the perfect test. That's the problem. You can't go out and say, yes, we did that against, you know, Arsenal and Manchester City. So it's not the perfect test. We have to remind ourselves that we are playing, like I say, the joint worst team in the division at the moment. But I thought it did show promise. Those as a five and going into the next Premier League games. I mean, I don't know if I'd do it against Derby, but certainly against the next Premier League games, that should be the way they set up, because that's why he bought the players. It also meant Paqueta could play in a more deeper role. It meant Souček was able to be dropped. It also meant that Benrahma could come in because there was less need for defensive attributes because we had five at the back. So it enabled him to play without the risk of him not, you know, defending as well as some of the other players. And so I thought the formation worked for us. And as you say, it was good that Antonio played as he did. I wouldn't have said he played outstandingly, but he obviously set up the second goal. And I thought he was much more lively and working hard than he had done at Wolves. I was appalled with his attitude at Wolves. Oh. But he seemed a lot better Saturday.
Yeah, he did. And again, I think it was there with his work rate. He seemed to want it more than he did against Wolves. And it was quite nice to see, because we'll come on to Danny Ings shortly, but I was a little bit gutted that he didn't start before the game, because in my mind, I'm thinking, as Antonio still got a bit of a chip on his shoulder for whatever reason, whereas Danny Ings, assuming he's match fit, he'd be licking his lips to make his debut against Everton at home. So I actually, going into the game, thought that was the wrong decision. But to be fair, I thought Mickey done okay. Thought he worked hard.
I don't mean to speak with hindsight, and obviously people think I am, but I actually would have gone with Antonio for that game. The reason being is that Danny Ings had only had one training session where he just got to know the lads, so to speak. They'd been setting up that formation. I knew that they were going to play five at the back on about Tuesday because they'd been working on it in the training ground. So I think with Antonio, he'd been working on that, and you would have known it was him, and they would work a lot of the tactics around him. Ings came in, and on the Friday, they don't do that intense training because obviously they want to be fresh for the Saturday. So I don't think he would have had a chance to play it as much. And I also thought he would have that impact of, if we needed someone to come on and we were struggling a bit, you'd bring him on the 55th or 50th minute even. It would give that massive boost to the club, to the crowd. If the fans hadn't been that good, if the performance hadn't been that good in the first half. And so actually, I'll go against the grain and think I actually agreed with that decision. Whether I would do the same for the next league game, I'm not sure, but I always believe in not changing a winning team, so I probably would do the same. But ultimately, you hope that Danny Ings is going to be the to lead the line, yeah.
Yeah, and more on Danny shortly. But does that win ultimately just paper over the cracks, X, and give David Moyes a stay of execution that many of us don't want him to have?
It's a difficult question, isn't it? I mean, it's a fair question, and a question I think probably majority of people would actually say it does. That it papers over the cracks, and it's not really ideal. But and the shallowness of West Ham fans, or any football fans. Mark Carlo did a couple of polls on David Moyes whether we would sack him. So after the Wolves game, 91% said he had to go. 6 were on the fence, and 3% were retained for now. After the Everton game, it was 23% keep Moyes, 18 undecided, with 59% replacing.
Wow.
I know,
wow.
Exactly. And this shows you how fickle football can be, which is what I was trying to allude to again in my arguments, that people were very reactionary. Now, of course, I was a little bit guilty of that after the Wolves game, because I mean, I had been suffering all week from people abusing me for my opinions. I'm not going to backtrack it, but I do think I was almost bullied into them. But the performance at Wolves also meant that I wasn't sure on him. But at the end of the day, we don't know. It may have. I mean, February is going to be the crucial thing. Now, Derby, you can't judge it against Derby, whether we win or lose. Cup games against lower league oppositions are so unpredictable that I think whoever the manager is, something could happen. You know, we could have Guardiola or Arteta. You know, we could have Avram Grant. Cup games like that are so unpredictable. But if we play Newcastle, which we do, then Chelsea, I think it is, then Tottenham. I mean, that's going to be the perfect judge, isn't it, whether he's turned the corner. I don't know at this point. It's really hard to say. I do believe that Aguerd coming back and playing and Zuma is massive. And I said, I know people can't accuse me of changing my tune because I said that from the start, that those two are the two ultimate centre-back choices, and they make a huge difference if you've got your two strongest centre-backs on the pitch. But it is just Everton. We can't get carried away because it's Everton and we didn't completely play them off the park. So at the moment, I'm undecided. Undecided, I know that's sitting on the fence, but I genuinely am. I can't tell whether that win is just going to be like, right, we'll win against Everton, but then we'll lose the next three league games. I can't tell, and I guess time will tell, because I can't see the club sacking him before at least the next league game, so we shall see.
No. And look, there is a credible argument that people can put forward for David Moyes, because some of the downfall is circumstantial. I mean, he's lost a lot of players, big personalities in that changing room. He's signed a lot of players, personalities that still need to bed into that changing room. He lost his club captain, an icon at West Ham. The current captain wants to leave. Injuries to key players, Pierce leaving, top players underperforming. I just think some of it is his own doing and some of it's circumstantial. But hear me out, X, right? Because my concern with this stay of execution is that we will probably win against Derby, which will further extend that stay of execution. But then we play Newcastle away, Chelsea at home, and Tottenham away in our next three games. I think we're going to lose all three of those games. I pray that I'm wrong, but I can't see where the points are coming from. Then we're left with 15 games to play. 15 games left in the season. To get to the so-called safety line of 40 points, we would then need to win 7 of our last 15 games. And that means we pretty much need to win 50% of our remaining games. And when you consider that to date, we have won once away from home all season, I cannot help but think, as crazy as it sounds, that that win against Everton is the worst thing that could have happened to us.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people do feel similar to what you're saying, and I can understand your point, because it's so hard to judge against Everton. You know, if that was against Arsenal, against Manchester City, like I said, you'd feel a lot more confident, say, wow, that was a really good result. But I think at the moment, you know, Leyton Orient could probably give Everton a game. So it's very hard to actually know for certain what the answer is. But like all those points you made, they were the points I was making prior. And also, there's no definitive answer that if a new manager came in, they would get the results. Like, you know, this is the problem. Everything is so hypothetical. You know, people can sit there and argue till they're blue in the face and call everyone with a different opinion a wanker. But actually, the bottom line is no one knows whether they are right until whatever happens, because it's all like, you know, hypothetical. I don't sit here thinking, oh, why don't we just sack Moyes and bring this guy in? I can't think of the guy I'd bring in. If I'm correct, I believe that it'll be Rafa Benitez that comes in. That would be my, if I was to put money on it, that would be who I'd bet on now. And if he doesn't want it, but I think he does, it would be Dyche on 6 months. Is Rafa Benitez a better answer to the current problem than David Moyes? I don't know. David Moyes knows the club inside out. He knows all the players. He knows Mark Noble. Don't forget, since Mark Noble's come back, yes, we had the shit performance against Wolves, but actually, we've beaten Brentford, we've drawn at Leeds, we've lost to Wolves, and we've beaten Everton. So we've actually won two, drawn one, and lost one. So actually, since Noble's been back, the form has turned a little bit. As I say, Zouma and Agüero, first game together, clean sheet. I don't think that's a complete coincidence. And you know, it's such a tough situation, mate. I genuinely don't know what the answer is. I genuinely don't know. And people can insist they do, but they don't. They don't factually know what the answer is. And this is the situation that David Sullivan finds himself in. You know, what is the best answer? Who knows?
What? I'm not going to be disrespectful enough to say what I've actually said before, which was more tongue-in-cheek than me being genuinely serious, when I say that literally just about anyone can come in and do a better job, because, you know, we owe Moyes more respect than that. But the point I'm trying to make is West Ham are in a fortunate position where we do have a quality squad of players. So I think a lot of different managers could come in and just inject that freshness, that new form of enthusiasm, new ideas in training, better working on one-to-one individuals than as a group, and just kind of inject a little bit of passion and some freshness into that current culture. And I think sometimes just that can make all the difference. And that brings me on to talk about Everton, right? Because I'll tell you what, X, West Ham fans can panic about the state we're in. Everton are fucking banging trouble, aren't they?
Because
when you look at West Ham, like I say, I honestly think you can change the manager and you will immediately see results, in my opinion. With Everton, where do you start? I mean, apparently the board are incompetent. The manager is clearly out of his depth. And with the exception of two or three players, I think the squad's a load of shit. I would really be shitting myself if I'm an Everton fan. I mean, in comparison to West Ham, we almost feel quite lucky, because I like I say, it's where do you start with Everton? They are a mess, aren't they?
Oh, they massively are, yeah. I mean, and they've spent loads of money as well, and, you know, and that again is, you know, there's other clubs, like you say, that could be in worse positions and are. I mean, Everton, I think they're going to sack Lampard today. They may have even sacked him by the time this podcast goes out, but I think he, by reading the reports, it looks like he's going to get the sack, and so they are trying to change it. They realise they're in a poor position, but, you know, I think as to sort of go back to that previous point, you know, it is. So it is. I forgot what it was now, annoyingly. But yeah, it's. I can't remember what I was going to say now. But yeah, the Everton situation is really dire for them. Dire. I think Southampton are in a poor way. And don't forget, Southampton have already played the trump card of changing the manager. I've remembered what I was going to say. One thing that I also took from that Everton game that I think is a positive for David Moyes is that Declan Rice, Gerard Bowen, and I think someone else from memory all came out and said how it shows the players still want this, how they still back the manager, how they still back each other. And I think that is...
I'm not having that. How can players of that quality say that on the back of one win against a fucking diabolical Everton side with 33% possession at home proves to everyone that they still want this and they are still playing with the manager? Come on, do me a favour. Hell. We're 3 points away from the bottom of the league after 20 games.
Yeah, well, they can only say it after a game that they've won, can't they? They're not going to say it after a loss, which they did actually do, to be fair. But, you know, you can only go on what you're told. I mean, that's what they're saying.
That's patronising for me. Look, each to their own. I'm not having that.
Well, I think if you're going to turn something around, you have to celebrate a win because you've got to build upon
the success. You've got to celebrate a win, Eggs. You've got to celebrate a win. Of course you have. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, again, even Everton are acting now by the sounds of it. So why are we with David Moyes with such a superior side to Everton? I don't care what anyone says. Such a superior side. Are we not doing the same just because we beat Everton? Everton are there for the taking. They're in ruins. And we've won 2-0. And we've been awful all season. You know, we've won one game away all season. That to me doesn't show that the players are playing for the manager and are still up for this after 20 games.
Maybe not, but it's the same reason that Liverpool are sitting where they are in the league, Chelsea are sitting where they are in the league, and they're not sacking their managers.
Yeah, because they're not under the threat of relegation, though, Ex. I mean, catastrophic if we go down. It's a piss poor season for Liverpool and Chelsea, and maybe there are different conversations that are taking place in that respect, but their Premier League status isn't under threat. That's a whole different conversation.
No, it is, but when you put it into perspective of in terms of their wage bill and what their expectations are, not qualifying for the Champions League, which it looks like neither of those teams will do, is equally as financially catastrophic for them. I mean, they're bigger clubs and they've got more money, so it's not going to impact them as much as it would, say, West Ham. But proportionately, you know, Liverpool budget for a bigger budget than us on wages, as do Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea have bought shitloads of players recently, and Liverpool budget hugely as well. If they don't make the Champions League, where we all know how financially beneficial it is to be in those leagues, it's the same for them. They are potentially putting themselves back numerous years, while the likes of Newcastle and Arsenal particularly seem to be the new top four teams now. So for Liverpool and Chelsea, they're in just as much a position. I mean, obviously Chelsea sacked their manager, so they're on their second one, but Liverpool aren't sacking Klopp, because I would guess, and obviously I don't know anything about Liverpool really, I don't know anything more about Liverpool than the next man, but I would guess that they at the moment see he's the right man. And I'm not sitting here saying I'm 100% convinced David Moyes is, because I was saying after the Wolves game, I thought, you know, his time was up. But the bottom line is, he's won a game of football now, and a crucial game that we need. I just don't think you can sack him on the back of a win. I just don't think it works like that. If you're going to give him the Everton game, which the board have, whether they did rightly or wrongly, and I would have said wrongly at the time because I was saying should go before it, whether they rightly or wrongly gave him the Everton game, they did. And he won it. So you can't now sack him straight after that, in my opinion, because what's the point of giving him it? You might as well have sacked him before.
Yeah, well, and this is my problem. I think now the pressure lies with the board. I said in last week's show, it's not David Moyes' fault that he hasn't resigned from the club. Why would you? Why would you walk away from a decent amount of money? This is on the board now. And like I said, for reasons that I've given, I just think that win against Everton has given him that stay of execution that I didn't want him to have. And I just think we need a change now to go into those difficult games. Because as it stands, I just can't see us getting any points from the next three. And I think there's every chance that with 15 games to go, this football club are bottom of the Premier League. And then I'm really starting to worry.
So in your eyes, when can he turn it around for you? Has he got to win the next four games in a row? What is the point? You think, oh, okay, maybe I was a bit early. Maybe he is the right man. At what point does he achieve that in your eyes?
Well, results and performances. I mean, I'm stating the obvious here, and this works both ways.
So what does he have to do? Does he have to beat Derby? Does he have to beat Newcastle? Does he have to beat Chelsea? What does he have to do?
Well, it comes with expectation as well, because David Moyes has got a very, very, very difficult few games coming up in the Premier League. Very difficult. The manner of the defeat is very important as well. Now, again, expectations versus performance, I don't expect to get a point from the next three Premier League games. But what I do expect is performance levels to increase and work rate to increase. And if we lose 1-0 to Newcastle, but actually we've had a go, then you can say, okay, well, I expected to lose. I didn't expect us to play as well as we did. And then we do the same against Chelsea. And then maybe we go to Tottenham and nick a draw. I want to see positivity in what I'm seeing. I don't want to see winning, just purely beating shit teams like he has done over the last year. He hasn't beaten anyone decent in the last year. And he's beaten Everton on 30% possession when they are absolutely diabolical. So it's the manner of the defeats and it's the manner of the wins. I also don't want to see us beat Bournemouth, for example, on 10% possession with one shot versus their 20. It's the manner of the wins as well as the defeats. So I just want to look at West Ham and genuinely think these players are playing for David Moyes. What David Moyes is doing here in terms of selection and his tactics does make sense. I want to believe in him again. And how that will come, I don't know. Because like I say, I don't think he'll win the next three games. But if we lose having a go and we're unlucky, then that will show some signs that maybe there's light at the end of the tunnel. I just don't believe there is.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Okay, well, that's fair enough, and I'm not sure I do either, to be honest with you. I'm not sure I believe whether he'll be able to turn it around. I can't, as I say, it's an impossible question to answer. I don't almost count the Derby game as one to judge because of the, as I said, the unpredictability of cup games. I think whatever happens in that, you just almost like don't take it as a positive, you don't take it as a negative as such. We should beat them, but if we don't beat them, I'm not going to be, you know, right, he's going to go on that. The games that I think are going to be crucial are the three next league games. Now, I'm actually not as pessimistic about you. I think we'll probably lose Newcastle away, although Palace this weekend have shown that you can get something from them if you set up the right way. I mean, I think Palace have played them, I might be wrong on this, someone could correct me, at least two times this season, possibly three with a cup game. They've managed to keep a clean sheet against them both times. So if Palace can do it, there's a strong chance we should be able to. Chelsea aren't the same team. I think Chelsea, we could beat them at home. If we play well and the fans are up for it, the players are up for it, I think we could beat Chelsea. And Tottenham, who knows what their situation is going to be in 3 weeks' time. They're all calling for their manager and they sit fifth in the league. So, you know, they could be with a new manager, they could be in bad times. I think these games, we could get more out of it than perhaps you think we can, and then we'll just have to see where we are. But, you know, if no one is able to, realistically, and people be screaming at me now, but I ask you to sit back and think whether it's completely realistic with our board. That's the key thing. It might be realistic for other clubs, but for our board, is it realistic? What realistic manager are you taking to replace David Moyes? And if you could come up with someone like that, that's definitely going to take the job and is the right person to replace Moyes, then fair play. But in my head, I can't see beyond the board appointing either Rafa Benitez or Sean Dyche. Probably at the moment, I would say, if you're giving me a choice, yes, David Moyes goes, you get one of them, I'd probably take it, but I'm not convinced on it. And if anyone else can argue someone else that is realistic, then fair play. But I think that is also a problem for us. And at the moment, you know, I think you just have to take it as a game by game, as the club seem to be doing. And also, you know, we've signed a new striker now, Danny Ings. I think that makes a difference. I won't give too much away about my section, but we're trying to get a couple of other players in that sometimes a manager needs that. You know, Harry Redknapp, we were in absolute doom and gloom under him, brings in Hartson and Kitson, and suddenly the season changes massively. You know, is that what we need? Is it a couple of new players in that will suddenly change it? Who knows? But it's all very hypothetical. That's all I say.
It is hypothetical, but I also think we're at a stage now where you take an educated gamble, because we're not saying, do you know what? We really want to kick on at West Ham now, and it's not good enough that we're sitting 10th. We should be sitting fourth now. It's not as if we're having that conversation. We are literally 3 points away from the bottom of the table. And I think that there's every chance we could be bottom of the table after 23 games. So this actually is tripping over to a real serious scenario for us now. And I go back to saying, X, yes, we can speculate with our kind of minimal to no knowledge of European managers, but we're not paid the big bucks to get those people in.
No,
Celtic,
that's a fair
where
point,
the hell did they? Where the hell did they pluck Postecoglou from?
Yeah,
you know, who'd ever heard of him? But there are people at Celtic and at probably every football club in the world other than West Ham that are paid for their top level consultancy to say, right, for reasons A, B, C and D, this is why this man's going to work at West Ham. We're not those people. So I can pluck fucking names out of a hat and say, right, this is who it should be. But I'm not the person that's making those decisions and are paid to make those decisions.
No.
So I'm not having the fact that there's no one out there when West Ham United with this squad of players we've got are sitting pretty much bottom of the fucking Premier League. David Moyes, I mean, listen, and I will tell you this now, and I must re-emphasise this. I like David Moyes. If I start seeing West Ham's performances improve, the results improve, players start working harder, and then we find ourselves in a position where it's, you know, league table wise it's a bit shit, 12th, 13th, but we're comfortably avoiding relegation, I'll sprint back to this microphone and I'll say, do you know what? When you take everything into consideration, let's give him another season. Let's write this off as a transitional season and let's give him the benefit of the doubt. The problem that we've got is I just genuinely can't see it happening. And that's the problem. You know?
That's right. And you make your point about us not being the people to recruit is completely right. You're right. We don't have that European knowledge. It's not our job to have that European knowledge. So we don't know. And you're right about Celtic getting AP. You know, it was their ability to identify an up-and-coming manager. The same as when Arsenal appointed Arsene Wenger from the Japanese league.
Yeah, Brighton with Graham Potter. Look what he done for that football club.
Their
new manager, I've never heard of him. He's doing really well. So they are out there, Ex.
Yeah, you're right. But what I'm not saying they're not. But the problem, what I'm saying to you, and I don't think people completely grasp what I'm saying, is that they are out there. They should be able to be obtained. But under our board of directors, who I've suggested before, are possibly outdated. I actually think, with the greatest respect intended here, I actually think David Gold, having his shares move on to his children and particularly his son-in-law, Dan Cunningham, who is we both know very well, is a top bloke. We both met him a couple of times, our age, very enthusiastic about the game, very knowledgeable, was a West Ham fan before he even knew the Golds. So he's got that in his favour as well. I think them coming in will be a good thing going forward, because I think, unfortunately, our board, even you have to look at the collective age. I mean, well, David Gold was in his early to mid-80s. David Sullivan's in his early to mid-70s. You know, between them, they've been in the game for, 40 years, whatever it is. Perhaps they are maybe a bit dated when it comes to this sort of thing. Mm. And obviously, Mark Noble's been brought in as well to try and bring a bit of, you know, youth and modern day thinking to it, but our board perhaps are a bit dated. But so when I say there's no alternatives out there, there may well be. You know, people throw names at me all the time, but it's whether our board would ever A, have the knowledge of these people, B, have the risk averseness, whatever the word is, risk taking to appoint one of these managers that is technically unproven. You know, Potter had never managed in England, neither had Arsene Wenger, neither had the Brighton managers and stuff. So in a sense, they are a gamble. But whether the board would actually take that risk on a manager like that, I doubt. Therefore, I think the only options are Benitez and Dyche. And when I think of it like that, and I'm given that is what the options are realistically, in the sense that realistically, that's what my club will do, then I don't know whether those two jump out to me as being a hugely better option than Moyes. And that is where I have this constant battle in my mind about what the right thing is to do. I'm literally, if you was to ask me at the moment, I've probably swayed the other way. So I'm probably 52%, 55% Moyes needs to go to the remaining percent that he needs to stay. But I still find it quite hard to call at the moment.
Mm. And that's fair enough, mate. And that's your opinion. And likewise, you know, you put a credible argument against that. It'd be interesting to see who Everton give the job to, if Frank goes.
Because
I wouldn't touch that with a barge pole, mate.
No, but mate, this is something I'm going to talk about in my section.
Oh, really?
I think there could be a little bit of something to keep an eye on with this situation. I don't know. It's just a gut feeling. But I'll present the evidence in the next section. But that appointment could be crucial, not just for Everton's future, but for ours as well.
Right, okay, yeah. I mean, there is an obvious scenario you're piecing together here, and yeah. I won't touch that any further because we'll save that for your section. And it is, yeah. You know what? It's funny, you know, because I can actually see if anyone could go in and fix Everton there, it probably would be David Moyes, exactly. Ironically. And yet yeah. The one person I don't want in the same situation at West Ham is David Moyes. I mean, it is a funny old game, as they say, isn't it? But yeah. Talking of managers, I mean, you look at Frank Lampard. Did you see that clip of Everton fans talking to Frank Lampard?
Yeah, before the game. It was almost like he'd been stung by those, like, pedo operation videos. Like, you know,
he looked absolutely petrified.
I know.
I said to a mate last night, he looked like a dog arriving at the vets, didn't he?
Yeah.
Bastard. I feel yeah. sorry for him. I can't be honest.
He did. It was a really weird video, wasn't it? Like
it was.
He genuinely looked very, very scared of the situation.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't mean to be horrible to Frank. I mean, I know West Ham fans hate him. I'm not quite of the same hatred as them.
No, I'm certainly not.
Mainly because I've known Frank a long time, but also I feel it was a bit harsh. But anyway, that's a different story for a different day. That can't have given the manager the players, sorry, I mean they probably wouldn't have seen it before the match, but when you're looking at that can't fill you with confidence when your manager's that petrified going into a game. And I actually think, to give West Ham fans credit, I actually think the fans were quite lenient on him, given how much abuse he tends to get. You know, there was a couple of sacked in the morning chants, and I think there was one big fat Frank chant that I heard, but compared to what it would have been maybe 10 years ago, I don't think it had ups and parts. I don't think it was anywhere near as, I don't know, derogatory as I thought it would be.
Well, before we kicked off against Everton, there was a tribute to the late David Gold. Did the club do him proud?
Yeah, I think, to be fair, I think they got the pitch just about right in the sense of how they did it. Yeah, I think it was good. I was worried. And this, again, I say it's the greatest respect because, we know David Gold and his family. Greatest respect. I was worried they might overdo it and therefore it might get fans' backs up. But I thought it was going to go on for 15 minutes, all these dedications. I thought they were going to overdo it almost. But I think they got the pitch right. I think the video was nice. It told a bit about his life story. And it is true, whatever you say about him, he played for West Ham as a kid. He lived literally across the road from Upton Park. He was from a poor family who had, a bit of a messed up home life, and he did come good and end up owning the club that he supported. It is a bit of a fairy tale. Now, regardless of what you think of how he managed the club when he was the owner to get to that position from where he did, is a fairy tale. It is almost Roy of the Rover stuff, So to tell that story, it is amazing. I thought the video was very nice. I thought that the kit on the pitch was nice. I thought we invited the family onto the pitch doing a minute's applause. I think it was well handled. I think the club did it. It was classy from the club. Fair play to Everton fans as well, because, they respected it and they did their part in it as well. When given what they're going through with their owners, they could have used that as a chance to make a fuss with their owners or something, but they didn't. So fair play to them. I've always thought they were the more classy out of the two Anfield clubs, two Liverpool clubs. But anyway, they I thought it was right. I thought they got it spot on, stuff in the programme as well. That was it. It wasn't too much. It was enough to thank him for his time at the club. Obviously, the result was a nice result for them as well. So, yes, I think it was handled correctly.
Good, good. It's been a busy old week for West Ham, isn't it? Let's talk about Danny Ings. How do you feel about that signing?
Pleased, because I think he's a goal scorer. He knows where the net is. He has proven that for numerous teams, throughout a long season, a long career in the Premier League. He scored goals for Burnley, Southampton, Liverpool, Aston Villa. I think he's played for England and scored one in three for England. So he's consistently proven himself as a Premier League forward. I think the fee is just about right. He's 30 and he is injury prone, so you worry a little bit about that. And he's, I don't even know if I can mention his wages after what happened this week. I'll save that to my
section.
Just a few
bob, though, isn't it?
Allegedly, reportedly, yes. I don't want to say, because I'm going to say this free section. I'm going to rant a little bit, and I promise people that don't like me going on about trolls, I promise you this is a very brief thing. I got so much stick in the week because in a report on our transfer update I said reportedly the highest paid player at the club. Reportedly means you've heard it elsewhere or you've read it but you don't know factually. That's my understanding of the word. It was a throwaway line in an update I did where West Ham Central quoted quite a few of my articles from that story. He said Danny Ings is the highest paid player at the club and attributed to me. That wasn't what I said. And then underneath, oh my gosh, every troll was awoken from under their bridge, and they were out just like caning me for, hey, this is why the club's there's no respect, the players all unhappy because they know what each other's earning. Just a load of absolute bollocks. All you have to do is Google Danny Ings wages and you can see what he was on at Aston Villa. You can see what he's been reported on. He's not going to take a pay drop, let's be honest. Why would he, when he's a big signing that's been brought in to save us from relegation? So he's not going to need to take a pay drop. So you don't need to be a genius. If I can do that, so can every player in the club, so can every journalist, so can every fan. The stick I got, some people are just moronic. Like, they look for things to abuse people for when they don't even understand the game, really. I had someone abuse me for putting the team news out until I pointed out to him that the team sheets are exchanged at 1:30. My team news doesn't come till after that. So therefore, people already know the team. They do. People, if you want to be a troll, at least get your facts straight before you can come at someone. Anyway, moving on from that rant. That is it. I promise I'm not going to do any more. I think he's you have to pay money. Goals are so hard to come by in the Premier League to get a consistent goal scorer, as West Ham have proven throughout the years. How many times have we bought a striker that's never quite worked? The only strikers that seem to have worked in recent years are converted wingers, as in Antonio and Arnautovic. You know, so we bought an out and out striker that's proven he can score goals. Apparently, he's a good lad as well. I've never obviously met him, but according to people that know him, he's a good lad. He'll come in and hopefully, if he stays fit, which is my biggest concern with him, he will score enough goals for us. And it's proven that when he is fit, he does score goals. So I think it's a good signing, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Great signing. I love his work rate, defence from the front. Definitely a Moyes player.
Yes, mate, work rate. I should have said that. You're spot on. Work rate is one of his key attributes, and that's really important.
It is. And for that reason, he's definitely a Moyes player, which in itself is very good. I think he's going to be anyone's player, to be honest, because he is that good, in my opinion. He gets in behind. Technically, his quality in front of goal. And I think you've alluded to it. His success at West Ham depends on two things. One, getting the service, because you can bring Mbappe at the football club. If you're not giving him the ball in front of goal, you're not going to see goals. I do genuinely believe that, despite the fact that I think he'll work harder to make things happen for himself in comparison to Scamacca, for example. But unless the crosses improve, unless balls in that final third improve, then he's not going to be a goal machine for West Ham, that's for sure. And like you're saying, if he keeps himself fit, you know, and I've said before, you know, mainly in jest, but, you know, at times I do genuinely believe it, that West Ham are cursed. And I just think you've got someone who doesn't have the best injury record coming to West Ham. If you're going to go to any football club and actually hit rock bottom with your medical record, it's going to be at West Ham, isn't it? So please God, he does keep himself fit. If he does, then yes, I do believe that we've got a good player on our hands there. Good signing that. Good signing. Mm-hmm. This week concluded with the sale of big Craig Dawson, Ballon Dawson, to Wolves. How did you feel about that?
Yeah, really, really gutted, to be honest with you. Like, I mean, I totally it's the right thing to do, and I totally understand why we did it. You know, as I've said to people on this show, a few people on Twitter are calling his personal situation wrong. I'm not going to correct them to what the actual situation is, because it's not for me to say. Another load of stick I got as well is because I put, you know, good luck with your personal problems. People thinking I'd revealed it. The club statement said good luck with your you know, he had personal problems. But anyway, his personal problems meant that he had to move on. I can speak from first-hand experience of what he's going through, and it is not pleasant. I had to change my job. Yes, I've changed it positively, and we now do the patron and other West Ham Way-related stuff, and that is my job now. But the big driving factor behind that was that I had to change my life to be able to support my wife. So I know, and I liked my previous job. I wouldn't say I absolutely loved it. Certain things I absolutely loved. Lots of things I didn't like. Lots of things I loved. So it was 50-50. I wouldn't have left had it not been for my wife's situation. But that forced me to do it. People say, you know, it's only he's getting paid all that money. It's only a little. It's not, you know, he should move down here. It doesn't always work like that. Family situation. So anyway, I totally understand his reasons for leaving. That said, if I take out me understanding it. I'm gutted that he has gone because, you know, what a signing for us, what a player. You know, people abused us for signing him. You know, it's funny, I dug back to some of the tweets where I first started to speculate we were going to sign him. And if you read underneath those, I mean, people obviously feel embarrassed with the benefit of hindsight, but the amount of comments under that were like, oh, he's shit, why are we signing him? He's awful. And actually, he's turned out to be a brilliant signing, pivotal for our European campaign. You know, scored a crucial goal at Lyon, played brilliantly in numerous games. I think you might be mad the match in Lyon from memory. It was superb for us. Great attitude, great leader, old school, old fashioned centre half, which we all love. And yeah, I'm gutted he's gone, but wish him all the very, very best in the future. And obviously he'll be massively welcome back at the club in any shape, form or capacity.
Yeah, well said, mate. Reliable, professional, brave, solid, good in the air, danger at set plays. In terms of value for money, I think it's one of the best signings for as long as I can remember, that's for sure. And I wish him well. I really do. Good lad as well, by all accounts.
Yeah.
Are you looking forward to Derby?
Yes, because I always look forward to spending time with you, David.
You're such a smoothie. I bet you say that to all the boys.
Yeah, no, I am looking forward to it. You say, I like cup games. Cup games give a different atmosphere. It's always nice to go to a ground. I have been to Derby's ground, Pride Park. I mean, I've been to the baseball ground as well. I saw John Hartson's debut for us. Well, something like that. Back in about the mid to late 90s, I went to the baseball ground. That was a proper old school fashioned ground. But Pride Park's not like that. But it's like your sort of stereotypical modern stadium, you know, two tier, all the way around the pitch type thing, all completely enclosed. But it's nice to go to a club that I haven't been to. I think the last time I went there, Jermaine Defoe was a substitute for West Ham, I seem to remember. So it's been a long time. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. Cup games, like, you know, different kind of pressure. It should be exciting Monday night on the lights. We're staying up there. I always like staying over at away games. It feels a bit more of an adventure. So yeah, I am looking forward to it. Yeah,
likewise, mate. I've not been there, so I am looking forward to it. And let's hope there's still some magic left in the cup competition. So yeah, be a good crack as always. Well, I've got to say that I know we're coming to the end of January now, but fuck me, at the weekend, I presented X with one hell of a belated Christmas present, didn't I?
Yeah.
And I felt sick giving it to him. So let me explain this, right? There I was buzzing because West Ham are winning first and foremost, but I'm buzzing because I know that this is what I predicted. I called it on Patreon. I spoke to everyone at the event saying that we were going to win. 2-0, clear as day. That's what I predicted. I've gone to check my predictions at the weekend, and my face dropped when I realised I forgot to register those predictions. I couldn't believe it. I felt sick. I'd started the weekend about 150 points clear of X, and due to human error and the fact that, to be fair, X also predicted 2-0 and got a couple of other games right, that, to be fair, and I'm not just saying this, I reckon I would have called, because I think there were some relatively obvious draws at play there. So I was double gutted. For the first time this season, he now sits above me. I can't believe it. I'm actually holding back the tears as I tell the story. Gutted, mate. Fucking fuming. He's now 68 points ahead of me, and he calls me lucky.
to be fair, and I think a few things need to be established before we move on, because I've got a feeling this will come back to haunt me. Yes, it was massively, massively unlucky on a Saturday that what happened with you. A couple of times you have forgot to predict, and you've got a benefit out of it by not by that distance. But also, what you've kind of loosely said there, but not really, is that I also called the Arsenal score right, which you got wrong. I caught you
last minute.
Yeah, you said it's going to be a draw. I said it's going to be an Arsenal win. I also called Man City spot on at 3-0. You said 2-0. So even the game, so it was only the Saturday games that you didn't predict. You predicted the Sunday ones and the one today. So it was only maybe four or five games, of which, yes, one of them was the 80 points West Ham versus Everton, which you... I will back you up and say you would have called it 2-0 because you did on the prediction sheet. And the other one I got spot on was Forest and Bournemouth.
Genuinely, I'll tell you what, right? And I, with my hand on my heart, I say this. I would have gone 1-0 in that game because I thought I had a draw written all over it. And I would have gone a score draw Liverpool-Chelsea. I know it was 0-0, but I would have gone to score draw there. I would have got every other result wrong, but
it would have been tough
to not be in this position.
There's some vicious rumours out there about my sportsmanship, but what I would like to put on paper is that I said to you before the game had ended, because you texted me, like, it was at half-time, you texted me to tell me that you hadn't predicted. So the West Ham game wasn't concluded at 2-0 then, and every other game, obviously, still had a half to play. I said to you, contact Cairo, who's the guy that basically does the admin for us on predictions, and tell him what you would have genuinely predicted and let him put them in for you now and go with that. I offered you that lifeline as sportsmanship to do that. So it's not like I just rub my hands together and laughed evilly at your downfall. I did offer you that way out of the situation.
To your credit, yes, you did. And I respected that. To my credit, like a man, I politely declined and said, no, it's on me. That's, you know, I've just got to wipe my mouth and move on.
So at the end of the day, sportsmanship is the winner here. It's like the Paolo Di Canio grabbing the ball moment. It's maybe we'll be up for the Peace Prize at the end of the year. Who knows?
Oh, how funny. Well, if you're looking for West Ham news and you're looking for it quick, then look no further than this jammy little prick.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.